I was thinking it's always a blessing to come up here and be able to open the Word with y'all, but I was thinking maybe it's a blessing for me and not so much for them, but bear with me. So tonight, I wanted to just share a couple verses. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're just going to look at the first two verses. It's kind of going to be our theme for the night. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. He opens up in chapter 1 with a greeting, and then in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Let me pray real quick just on that verse. Lord, again, I thank you for letting me open up your word tonight. Thank you for the privilege of being here. I pray that everything I say would be of you, Lord. I pray it's a blessing and a help and encouragement to everyone here. I know it's been a help to me, Lord. I pray it's cohesive. I pray it makes sense to everyone. And just most of all, Lord, I pray it glorifies you and honors you and your son. So thank you again. Let this time just be a blessing, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I just want to look at that second verse. "I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now, right off, I know in context he's talking about when he came to them, he decided that he's like, I'm going to present to them Jesus Christ and him crucified, the basics of the gospel. But in that verse, I kind of took the liberty of just taking it out of context for a second and applying it. And just, I read this about a month and a half ago, or maybe 2 months, and just in my daily reading, and the Lord has not let me, he just keeps bringing me back to that. Even as I've moved on to other things and moved on to other parts of Scripture and the Word, he keeps bringing me back to this verse. "I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And I was thinking about my life early, my spiritual walk early on. I used to go to a church, and I actually used, looking back, I used to get frustrated because the preacher would always talk about, I mean, just getting saved, being born again, the basics of the gospel. And I was like, well, come on, let's move on past that. And I actually got frustrated. I was thinking, like, maybe the Lord didn't want me to get past that. Maybe there is no getting past that. I was thinking, I used to say, Lord, let me move on to the deeper thoughts. Let me move on to the deeper waters of the faith and move past this basic gospel. And I think now I feel convicted that the Lord is like, there is no deeper truth. There is no deeper thought. There is only my son and him crucified. So as I was looking at that, I was just kind of studying that. There's so many different things here to just dwell on that. But I was thinking like the life and the death and the resurrection of our Savior is the culmination of our entire faith. It's everything. Everything surrounds itself around that. I was thinking, like, we see the true cost of sin when we look at the cross. We see the wrath of God, a righteous and holy God, when we look at the cross. And yet we see a loving Father when we look at the cross. We see an example of perfect, humble obedience when we look at the cross. Everything we need is in that moment. And everything leading up to it pointed to it, and everything now points back to it. So as I was thinking about this, I wanted to share some examples, and I was thinking, well, what kind of examples can I share? What would be a help? And I was thinking, well, the Lord just kind of put on my heart to share some things that it's helped me with as I've just kind of dwelled on these thoughts. And the first thing, I want to be honest, I'll be honest with you. One of the things I really struggle with is insecurity. It's a huge, especially in my relationships, it's always been, ever since I was a teenager, I remember it, I was just like, I was always unsure how I stood with somebody. Where did I stand? And you can even ask my wife. I'm always like, I need reaffirmation of like, how are we? Are we good? Are we okay? And I think I've carried that into my spiritual life too. So as I was looking at this verse and I was thinking, Lord, show me how this helps. Show me how can this be practical? Just knowing it is great, but how can it be practical? How can I carry it over to the aspect of my walk? And just a few verses, you don't got to turn there, but these are just examples of how dwelling on our Savior and dwelling on his work directly impacts our walk in our life. Not just theoretically, not just out there in tangible land, but everyday walking, everyday living, everyday thoughts, how it can impact it. So for me, again, with these insecurities, one of the things I struggle as I carried it over to my spiritual life, I found myself, I've never really struggled with the idea that I could lose my salvation. I've never thought, I get it. Jesus died for me on the cross. I was a sinner. I didn't know right from wrong. I was just wicked, and he died for me. And I get that. I can almost comprehend that. What blows my mind, what constantly I struggle with, is the fact that how can he still love me even after I've been saved, even after I've been born again, even after I know the truth? I still do these things. I still struggle with these things. And I find myself in, you know, you think a lot on an ambulance at 4 o'clock in the morning. You kind of have a lot of conversations with yourself. And you think, and these thoughts pop in your head. And you think, how can God still love me? How come he's not over it? I don't get it. And yet, so he comforts me. You see, he brings me to these verses here. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Or Ephesians chapter 1, 7 through 9. In him, which is Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. And I read those verses and I think, I honestly have to do it every day. Sometimes it just seems like I have to be reminded every day that that's how I know he loves me. That's how I know he's not over me. He's not over it. He's not done me, because I see what he did on the cross. The work of Jesus Christ is, it takes the intangible and makes it very real. It makes it very tangible. We believe in faith that Jesus died on the cross. None of us have ever seen it, but we believe it. So we take that faith and we carry it into these other aspects of our lives. And God says, that's how you live. That's how you do it. You believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, and now you believe, now you know I love you. And so that's just one example of how it's just knowing that. It's just so comforting. Like I said, it's one of those things for me I deal with every day. It's just, when you say it out loud, oh, how can God still love me? Of course he still loves you. But when you're sitting there by yourself and those thoughts, the devil puts those thoughts in your head, or your flesh is telling you to look at you, it's always so comforting to fall back on the things we know are the truth. So just a real quick another example, and maybe this is just me, but I struggle in the flesh. So this is another example of how knowing what happened on the cross, as we go deeper, not past the cross, but deeper into what happened on the cross and the work that was accomplished, we look at what happened, Galatians 5:24, we're talking about the flesh and how, I struggle in that. I'm like, I know the scripture says it's been crucified and I'm dead to it, but I don't feel it. Doesn't seem like I'm dead to the flesh. It seems like the flesh is very alive and very going on. But again, we look at these verses for Galatians 5:24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Or Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, I was looking at these and just kind of studying this in a different study a while back. I realized that even though I don't feel my flesh is crucified, even though it seems like it's very alive, the word, God says, no, your flesh has been crucified with Christ. It happened even well before you even aware of it. When I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was 14 years old, I knew nothing about the flesh and it being crucified, but it doesn't matter. It still happened. And again, the same faith that we know that Christ died on the cross for us, the same faith we apply to this and say, God said my flesh has been crucified. That's how I can be victorious today. That's how I can walk today and deny the flesh and say, no, it's dead, and I know it because the Lord said it. So those are just a couple examples of how we can take this verse, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, and that we can take it and apply it practically. I try to be very practical in whatever I speak, that, you know, we can have all these great lofty ideas, but if I can't live it, if I can't walk it day to day, it doesn't help me. So I try to think of ways that it could be practical. And as you're studying, as you're reading, you know, look for Jesus in it. I mean, I feel like every verse we read, one way or the other, there's something about Christ in it. Whether It's about sin or the wickedness and how he had to cover it, or type of him or something. There's always, Christ is always in these pages. And Paul, who like was the, one of the greatest, he was the greatest apostle, he's saying, I'm choosing, I decided, a conscious act, said, I'm going to know Christ, and I'm going to know him crucified. I mean, this is one, this guy had like revelations of heaven, and he didn't talk about those. He's like, no, we're going to come back to the basics of Jesus Christ and him crucified, because that's where the power is. Every promise we have, everything we have in this life is in Christ. I mean, if you read all these epistles, all the clothes, I was thinking about trying to find some here a second, but I didn't. But, I mean, every promise, every time he's extending grace or peace, it's always in Christ. It's what we have. That's who we are, and it's all we have. Anything outside of him, it's not. We don't have it. So, as we close, I wanted to take this thought and carry it over into the importance of the Lord's Supper. And me and Dave had a conversation Sunday morning, and it kind of just, it gelled with what I was thinking about tonight, is that I didn't grow up in a chapel. I didn't grow up in anything like this. So when I first came to this and experienced the Lord's Supper, it just blew me away. And I think sometimes if this is all you've known, you can take it for granted. And I would just challenge us as we, especially us young men, guys, as we are studying the Word, come, and even if you're never going to stand up, prepare yourself to stand up and worship something, worship and have a thought. Because what happens, at least I've noticed in my life, is that I'm training my mind. I'm teaching my mind to dwell on Christ and to dwell on him crucified. And what I've seen is that as I do that, he's changing me. He's shaping me. And that's the only way it works. And as we, if I notice that when my eyes drift off, if my thoughts come off of him, instantly anxiety, fear, stress, frustration, defeat. It's almost, it's like, it doesn't take less, it takes less than a day, and I see it in my own walk. So I would encourage the men, I know, ladies, I know you don't get to stand up, but I would challenge you as well to come and have these thoughts. Be prepared to worship, and as you do, you'll notice it carries over past the Lord's Supper. It becomes a daily thing. It becomes as you're driving down the car, you're thinking, what did Jesus do for me? And it just, it's, I think that's how the Lord changes us. Over time, that's how he works. So, well, anyway, that's those are my thoughts. I'm a little early, so forgive me. You get out early, but let's close in prayer. Lord, again, I just want to thank you for tonight. Thank you for the privilege of opening up your Word. I hope I honored you, Lord. I hope it was a help. You're such a blessing to us. We thank you for your Son, Lord. Forgive us when we try to move past him. Forgive us when we try to go on to something else. And Lord, there is nothing else. And I thank you for the Lord's Supper. I thank you for the privilege of that that ceremony, that blessing of just coming there and just remembering your Son and blocking out everything else and dwelling on him. So thank you for giving that to us. I really do believe you gave that to us for us, that we could continue to grow for our help and our benefit. So help us not to take it for granted, Lord. I pray for each one here tonight that you would bless them, that you would give them thoughts of their Savior, that you would just flood their mind with thoughts of how much he loves them, how much he cares for them, how much he has done for them, Lord, and that we would just leave tonight rejoicing. And again, I say rejoice in you, Lord. So, Father, we love you. Thank you for this chapel. Thank you for everyone here. And bless each one and their families. Give them a good rest of the week, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.